Thank the Lord. Amen. Glad you're here this morning. Choir, that was absolutely awesome as well. Find in your Bible two passages of scriptures, if you will. The book of 1 Chronicles, and we'll look at the last chapter, and chapter number 29, and we'll read a little passage there. And then the book of Malachi. It's the very last book of the Bible. If you've been coming on Sunday evening, you know we have been going through the minor prophets, and we did a message a couple weeks ago, and on the book of Malachi, kind of a survey over the whole thing. But there were two or three things that God spoke to my heart about, and I want to come back and I'm going to deal with that this morning some. But first of all, let me share with you, I have a very kind thank you note here to all the members here at Benson Grove Baptist Church. Thank you so much for the special offering to help our church with propane bill. It was greatly helped and blessed our church family. We appreciate everything you've done to help us. That's Brother Nathaniel Inslee and his family out in Wyoming. And thank you for helping the Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You can imagine the heating cost if you have 8 months of winter and the propane cost, and they budget it out and they have to prepay. And you were a great help to help them to do that. And thank the Lord for the services here during the week. I appreciate so much Brother Tim and Brother Brad and sharing the Word of God. I know you were blessed in those times. And yesterday morning, all those who came to the men's fellowship, I know that was a great time as well. We had an awesome time up at the camp meeting. Brother Tom, I feel like it was a real encouragement to him and to his church and to all the others. A lot of folk came from the area. A lot of preachers came and we got help. We thank the Lord for that. And you just continue to remember them in prayer. Now, Brad mentioned this week the Lee County camp meeting over in Sanford. It's about a little over an hour ride, but there's going to be some great preaching. It'll be their second annual. We want to pray for them and encourage them. Brad is having a good bit of input insofar as the music is concerned there and helping with the music. And so if you get a chance to go, some of our guys who've been meeting on Monday, we've been praying. I didn't know if some of you may want to go. Brad was going to try to reach out and see if some of you might want to carpool and go over tomorrow night. And then I think on Tuesday night, Brother Zane Fishel will be preaching. And then Winston Parrish, who is the pastor now of Trinity, will be Wednesday night. And Thursday night, I think, is going to be Tyler Galden. He's at Church Street Baptist Church. God's really blessed that church. And then on Friday night, Brother Joe Offen. So I know it'll be a blessing if you get to go. Please pray for it. And I got a text, and some of you may have, if you follow Brother Ralph Sexton, he has the tent up down in Albemarle, North Carolina. And it holds 3,500. It's not a pup tent. It'll hold 3,500. And the pictures he sent, it was packed out. And so aren't you glad God's still moving? Say amen. And we believe in God for great revival. We got a great crowd here this morning. Thank you for visiting with us. Thank you for all those online and Bobby and Connie Bird. They watch us every week. Ms. Delores watches every week. Bobby and Lee Langdon watch every week. Several others right here in our community. And then we have friends in other places around the country who faithfully watch us every Sunday. And this morning I was talking to Brother Billy Reeves, and they have a grandson in Italy. Jonathan is watching, and Jonathan, we send you greetings this morning. Thank you for watching, and we thank you for being a part of our services every day. Amen. Don't you want to be blessed? How many of you want a blessing? Say amen. I want God to bless me, and He's been good to me. I just say He's blessed me so abundantly, and He's been so good to me in every kind of way. I can hardly begin to tell you what He's done for me. But I thank God that God meant for us as believers to have that peace of God that passes all understanding and a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And then to have the power of the Holy Spirit of God and to walk in fellowship with Him. There's nobody in this world as miserable as a cold, backslid Christian. I mean, lost people are dead in trespasses and sin. But Christians who are not close to the Lord like they ought to be, man, they're half in and half out. And then just not don't have what they want. We're praying for God to really move in revival. That is that unexplainable move of God. When people who hadn't been coming start to come in, and people you've prayed for so long and almost got to the place you didn't think God was ever going to save them, God starts saving them. And I believe God can do that. Now, the thing is, we've got to be right. We need to be in our own heart. We need revival personally in our own life. While we were up there at Luray, Brother Tom Robertson has two old trucks, and one of them he got from Philip. And he's gone through those things, and he told me, he said, I went all the way down to the chassis, and everything that was rusted or whatever, I've worked on it, and we've had people to work on it. In other words, every little crevice and everything, I went over to the guy where he had his first one worked on, and they had a vehicle in there, tore down. It was nothing but the frame and the rims of the tires. It was up on jack, and they tear it down and they touch every bolt on that vehicle. They polish everything, clean everything, treat everything. In other words, they want it to be just what it ought to be. So when you see it, it's showroom and it's glistening and it's beautiful or making a loud noise or whatever. But anyhow, that doesn't just happen. It's got to be where it gets clean. It's got to be where it gets right. And if you and I are going to have the presence and power of God, there's some areas we might have to get right in. And one of them this morning that God's burdened my heart as I've been going through the book of Malachi. And I didn't know I was going to deal with it on a Sunday morning, but God said to, and so I'm going to mind the Holy Ghost. Amen. But before I go to the book of Malachi, you have your Bibles open to the last chapter of 1 Chronicles, chapter 29. I preached on this passage of Scripture some time ago, but I wanted to go back and read it again. Let me tell you what's going on. First of all, David has been the king, and he's had his ups and downs. He's done some wicked thing, but God's dealt with his heart. He's repented, got right. And he's been worshiping God, seeking God after his own heart. God's blessed him, and he's defeated most of the enemies around, and he'll have a few more he'll take care of before he ever is not king. But God has brought the land to a place of rest. David, it's in his heart now to build the temple of the Lord. I want to build the house of God. But God sends the prophet to say, David, God's not chosen you to build the house. You've been king, and what you've done, he's blessed you to do. But your son Solomon will build the temple. He's going to be the one that I've chosen to do that. And, you know, but David, one thing about David that blessed me as I read through and looked at that passage of Scripture again, he didn't get the poochy mouth. He didn't dry up and get mad because God wouldn't let him do it. You know, like, God, I've tried to get right. I've tried to do all these things. But Solomon's going to build it. He was not discouraged. He was not defeated. And he didn't feel like God was slighting him in any way. So what he did, he began to gather all the materials for the temple. I'm talking about, you just have to read it. I'm talking about, seemed like tons of gold and silver, everything that was going to go in that temple, the most magnificent thing that had ever been built, really. And he gathers all that material. And when you come to chapter 29, he is talking with Solomon, his son, and the people. And he has, through the treasuries of the nation and other places, gathered as much as he could. And then notice what it says in verse 3 of chapter 29. And moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. And then he goes on and talks about what he's given. In other words, David, he's king and he has access to all the revenue of the nation. And so he's funneled a lot of that toward the temple. But God's got in his heart, and he said, because I have an affection, I love that statement, because my affection is to the house of my God. Do you love the house of God? Say amen, amen. If you do. You know what? The Bible said Christ loved the church and died for it. Now, this building is nice, but the church is all of you sitting in here and all of you on the internet. And he loved all of us, and thank the Lord for that. Now, but David said, I've set my heart, my affections are set on it, and I love it. I love the house of God. And he said, because of that, he said, out of my own goods I have given, and he goes on and lists, it's amazing what he gave. Well, having done all that, now look down at verse number 6, and the chief of the fathers and the prince of the tribes of Israel and the captains of the thousands and the hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly. And so David has, boy, he's got right with God, and he's given, and he says, putting towards the house of God. And then because of God speaking to him, God spoke to the chief of the fathers, all the princes, all the rulers, and they all gave willingly, and they gave, it tells about how much they gave and what they gave. And then notice what it says in verse 9, then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. And so the king is giving, and all the leadership is giving, and all the people are giving, and they are rejoicing. I mean, God loves a cheerful giver. And when they gave, it says they offered it willingly unto the Lord because they had a perfect heart. In other words, God moved on them, and they got so excited about the work of God, they began to give. Now look at verse number 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. And he's rejoicing, and all the people are rejoicing. I tell you, I read through that and I said, man, that's like revival. God's move. There's no gloominess. There's no burden. Do you think they had problems? Yes, they did. Do you think they had other things going on in their life? Yes, they did. But at this moment, God has given them a spirit of praise and worship. And they are just worshiping God freely. And thank the Lord for God doing that. Now, fast forward, this is when they were building the temple. Now, what happens is a series of kings after David, of course, Solomon, and then the kingdom divides, and there are a series of kings in the north and south. They begin to turn away from God. They turn to idols, and they just become corrupt, and God sends a series of people to deal with them, and eventually they will go into captivity. Now, having gone into captivity because of their disobedience, God had promised through Isaiah that a man named Cyrus, king of Persia, he would come and he would defeat the Babylonian Empire, which took the southern kingdom captive, and that Cyrus was going to allow them to come back in. And so now, having been in captivity 70 years, now we want God to do something tomorrow, but God's been working on this thing and working on them for a long time. He's had them in captivity for 70 years. Now let's come back. And Ezra comes back and Zerubbabel, and they rebuild the temple, and it's not near the type of this, but it's rebuilt. But they still don't worship God like they ought to. Then Nehemiah comes and he rebuilds the wall. Now the last prophet of the series of the 12 minor prophets is Malachi. And he comes with a message, and I'm not going to deal with all of it, but I want you to just look at a little phrase to begin with before I read the whole thing. And notice what he said. Look at verse 10, but skip down to where you see the word if. He said, you see the Lord of hosts, and then the little word if, the last three or four lines of verse number 10. And if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine be cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Boy, he said, I tell you what I'm gonna do. He said, I'm gonna open the windows of heaven, I'm going to pour you out a blessing that you cannot receive. Now the question is, why did he do that? Why did he just pour out blessings that they could not receive? Why did he do that? They have come back into the land. They've got the temple rebuilt. They've got the wall rebuilt. And they're still not faithful to God. Well, he begins in chapter 1, and I'm not going to deal with all of it, but he begins to point out to them the rust and the corruption and the things that's in their life. And he begins to say, now look, here's something, you got to take care of this, you got to take care of this, take care of this. And so he's pointing out to them areas of their life that are hindering the blessings of God. We all said we want the blessings of God. And here's one that is crucial. Notice, if you will, go back up and look with me, please, at verse 6. He said, I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. God made a promise to bless them, and in spite of all their sin and everything else, they're still there. They're back into the land, have gone through captivity, but they're back. God doesn't change. He loves them. He's showing them grace and mercy. And he said, I'm not changing. And also that applies to his commands and his what he wants them to do. And then he picks up this at verse number 7. Even from the days of your fathers, you're gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? So he said, I want to bless you. I'm the God that changes not, and I want to bless you. And since the days of your father, you've gone away from me. And so disobedience in any area of our life is an indication that we've gone away from God. What is backsliding? We talk about people who backslid, whatever. We can't leave the presence of the Lord because he's God. He made a promise he'd never leave us or forsake us. But we can get away from him in our heart. And their heart is not right. Back in Chronicles, it said they gave out of a perfect heart. They were right with God, and so they gave. Now notice what he says. They said, wherein shall we return? That means they're going to turn around and they're going to do something that they've not been doing. Notice, God says this, will a man rob God? Ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offering. That's the answer. You'll curse with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation have robbed me. I mean, listen, this is just one area, but it's a very important area because it reveals why have they not been given their tithes and offering? Because they don't have a perfect heart. Why is it they're not getting blessed, but they have received a curse? Because they've not been obedient to him, and they were not obedient because they didn't have a perfect heart. And then he says, you need to return to me. You need to begin to do what I've asked you to do. And he said, what I'm going to do in return to that, I'm going to open the windows of heaven, and I'm going to pour you out a blessing. Now, would you, if somebody asked you this question, I got a deal for you. If you'll give me $10, I'll give you $1,000,000. Is that a pretty good deal? Well, God said, if you'll be obedient to me and do what I want you to do, I'm going to open the windows of heaven and I'm going to pour you out a blessing that you cannot receive. Now, somebody was talking about the lottery the other day, and I don't know what it was, $147 million. And then the question was, what do you do after the first million? I mean, if you got $1 million and live in Johnson County, you got $1 million, what are you going to do with the rest of it? Because it's more than you could ever need, one you never need. And what he's saying is, he said, if you obey me, he said, I'm going to open the windows of heaven, and I'm going to pour you out more than you need. I'm going to just give you an overflow. I'm going to just soak you down good with the blessings of God. Now, what is the basis of that blessing? What have they got to do? Not just for the blessing, but because of their heart not being right, they've got to do some cleaning up. Excuse me just a second. They've got to do some cleaning up. And what have they got to do? They've got to obey him. Notice what he said again. Go back, if you will, please, at verse number 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You'll curse with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Prove me now, herewith, saith the Lord, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. And he goes on some others. Bow with me for just a brief word of prayer. Father, I want to thank you, our Father, for the Lord, the basis of blessing. Our Father, I want to thank you that God, you allow us to be stewards of all that you have entrusted to us. And God, I pray we'd learn the principle this morning of how to be obedient to you. And our Father, what it means when we trust you, and Lord, when we'll be obedient to you in any area. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. I want to just share three little quick things with you this morning. First of all, I want to talk to you about their repentance. Then I want to talk to you about their restitution, and then about their revival and rejoicing. And that's the product of the first two. He says to them, "You've robbed me." Now, I've mentioned this before. A thief will break in during the middle of the night and take things. You won't even know they've been there. They'll be in and gone. But robbery is completely different. It means somebody who has purposely came up to somebody or come in their house. And the idea of robbery is that you hold a gun on them or some way threaten them, and you take from them what's theirs. You take it away from them. And it's a little bit different than slipping in, just slipping, taking it. And he uses this strong, strong term about what they're doing. There's a principle that if we do not learn it, we will never experience the blessings of God. And that is the principle of the Lordship of Christ, and that he owns everything. And I preached to you about that a few weeks ago. And our stewardship, we are stewards. Moreover, it's required of a steward that a man be found faithful. Now, what is a steward? A steward is somebody who is entrusted with somebody else's treasure or something for them to take care of and to use it. And so you and I don't really have anything anyway. Our house belongs to the Lord. Our families belong to the Lord. Our land belongs to the Lord. What money we have belongs to the Lord. What God's given us, it's all His. And He wants us to learn some principles. And here is where he begins. He's dealing with this nation. Now, do you want the blessings of God or not? Do you want me to open the windows of heaven or not? He said, you got to learn this principle, and that you are a steward, and that everything you have, I gave you. Notice, if you will, here in this passage of Scripture, he gives them this instruction, verse 7. Even from the days of your father, you've gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. Now, notice he said, it's not just keeping, has nothing to do with legalism. This is a matter of the heart. And the fact that they did not obey him revealed that they had gone from him. Return unto me. It's much like in the New Testament, where it says, where Jesus said in 1 John, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. First is the love. First is the heart being right, and then everything else falls in line. But they are in a place now to where this is an evidence that they don't really love him, that not really in fellowship with him, and we really don't want that. And so he says to them, he wants them to return. He wants them to come back to him. Come back to him. And in doing that, he instructs them to give their tithes and offering. Bring it back in to the account, and they're accountable to God. Repentance. 1 John, he says this, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the first step is to acknowledge that we have disobeyed him in some area. And then having done that, there has to be this act of obedience. What you haven't been doing, you have to begin to do. And, you know, it's kind of like your child. You tell them, don't do this or do that. You tell them to do something, and they don't do it. And then you confront them with it, and they say, well, we're sorry or whatever, and you may discipline or whatever. But the truth of the matter is you still want them to take the trash out, you know. And they haven't really repented until they take the trash out. They can whine and cry and feel sorry, and I'm sorry I didn't do it. But if they don't take the trash out, if that's what you want them to do, they haven't completed it. And so he wants them to complete that. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, it says to obey is better than sacrifice, to be obedient to God. Now, so does God now in the age that we're living in, does he hold us accountable for what he's entrusted to us? I believe in the New Testament, there's story after story that illustrates that. that we are accountable for what God's given to us. He gives the illustration about the one that he gave the talents to, and one this man, and one this man, and one the other. They were accountable for what he gave to them. Are we accountable to God for our tithes and offering in this dispensation, in this time we're living in right now? I believe that. Why? Because he said, I'm the Lord, I don't change. Hadn't changed. What about that? What about obeying God? And if we want to get blessed, we have to turn from our sin, acknowledge our disobedience, and we have to just begin to do what he wants us to do. He said, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord. So now the next step is this idea of restitution or making it right, putting back. Notice what he said then. He said, you're cursed with a curse. They are under the curse of God. They've got it on their record. Most people, boy, they want to make sure their credit report is good. They don't want any late payments. They don't want any delinquencies. They don't want any foreclosures or any repossessions. They want to make sure they got a good credit report. But I'd like to ask you, I wonder how our credit report is with the Lord. If everything he's ever given us, we are stewards of, and if he would have us to be faithful in our giving, and the Old Testament standard is the minimum for the New Testament, which is a tithe or a tenth. Whatever God gives us, we ought to give it back to him. It's his anyhow. And then we are accountable for the 90% that he lets us keep as well. But I wonder over the years, how many times have we robbed God? How many times have we not been faithful? And does God keep any kind of record of that? Our stewardship, it belongs to him and we didn't use it. We didn't be obedient to him. We didn't have the joy of it. And I tell you, I can read your faces. Whenever you begin to talk about money, your complexion changes. But I just read to you where people were giving from the king to the princes to... And everybody was rejoicing because they gave willingly and they gave out of a perfect heart. What's the difference? They understood the principle. They loved the house of God and they were giving and God was blessing them. He was opening that window of blessing. It's the basis that God goes on. Why? What is this all about? They were to share, they were to give. And some people say, well, you know, tithing's under the law. But the truth of the matter is, 400 years before the law was ever given, Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. And then when you study the book of Hebrews, you'll find out that he was a type of Christ. And so really he was given to the Lord. Why? Because God had given a great victory in all the spoils of war. And then he tithes, he gives the tenth all of that. Of all that God gave him, he wanted to give back a tenth of it. Why did he do that? Wasn't any law. It was just in his heart to obey God. It was, of course, incorporated into the law, but it didn't have anything to do with salvation. It was just a matter of their living. So was, do not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Shall not bear false witness. All those things were part of that Judaism thing, and they were still right or still wrong. And so this idea of giving to the Lord is just a principle. And he said, you're to do that. You're to give it back to the Lord. You're to give it. He said, notice this. He said, bring it. In this passage of scripture, he said, bring it to me. If you'll do that, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Now, where's the New Testament storehouse? I believe it's the house of God. Does that mean you ought not to give to missions? Does that mean you ought not to give to other ministries? No. But the basic tithe ought to come in here. And I believe that's a very minimum of your giving. When you begin to give to other ministries and you give above to ministries here at the church, boy, God begins to bless. If you can ever get to the place where money doesn't control you, where it doesn't have a hook in you, to where that's all you think about, that's all you worry about, that's all you're trying to do, Bible said, they that will be rich. And some people, their rich is on a different scale. And some people, they think rich is millions. And some people think that riches is 200,000. And some people think riches is 1,000. You know, if they had $1,000 extra, well, they'd think they were rich. Or 500. But it's not the amount, it's the attitude. Attitude. And it's not that we are trying to accumulate anything down here. And the Bible says, lay not up for yourself treasures on earth. That has nothing to do with you providing for your retirement. It has nothing for you to do about yours. But it says, lay it up for yourselves. It's about your heart. It's your desire to depend on something other than God and understand that you don't understand it belongs to Him anyway. He wants you to be good stewards. He wants you to take care of your family. He wants you to make provision. But it's a matter of your heart's desire. And the thing is, my experience in so many people over all these years, if things get a little tight, and this church is great for giving, most of you are great for giving, but most people, when they begin to get in a tight, they start giving to God. That's the first thing they cut. First thing. I know churches do the same thing because their churches are full of people. I mean, the church gets to have a little financial struggle, they start cutting off missionaries. You got missionaries in foreign countries depending on $50 a month and from this church and that church, and they live off of hardly nothing to start with. And then, just on a whim, we can't afford to send that money overseas. We got to do this, got to do that. And so they just cut it off, and people are stranded over there. Why is that? We don't understand the concept. God said, now you prove me. This is not Him. I'm not preaching pie in the sky by and by and prosperity. I'm telling you what the Bible says. He's promised He'd do that. He would do that. If you'll be obedient to God, you show it. And listen, He said, you bring all of that to the storehouse. Bring it to God. What does it do? What does that mean when you do that? Well, it proves two or three things. Number one, it will prove your love. Paul mentions that in the New Testament, that this matter of giving proves your love. What did he say here? He said, David said, I have set my affections on the house of God. Do you love the Lord? You don't mind spending on your grandkids, you love them, and on ball games, you love that, and buying new dresses, you love that. I just love them shoes, you know, like you got 19 pair at the house. I just love them. But do you love the Lord? And can I tell you, your giving, whether you like it or not, to the Lord is a measure of whether you love Him or not. Has nothing to do with the amount. Remember the widow who brought a little handful, just two mites, just two little mites? And the Lord said she gave more than anybody here because she gave her living. She gave everything she had, basically, what it amounted to. Why did she do that? Because she loved. It represents love. Do you really love Him? If you do, you'll be faithful in your giving. Do you love Him? Then it represents your faith. People sit down with a pencil and paper and they say, man, if I tithe, and Regina will tell you, when we were in Tennessee Temple, I worked at night, went to school, and we had kids there, and I walked up and down the back alley and picked up Pepsi bottles, sold them to help buy groceries sometime. And there's been times I looked at it and I said, now, honey, we pay our tithes, and we won't have money for this or that or the other. And she'd agree, we need to pay the tithe. And so we did. And God's took care of us all these years. God's been good to us and blessed us. The principle is true. You can't outgive Him. If you're faithful in your giving, He'll open the windows of heaven and pour it out on you. The question is, what is the basis of that blessing? It is, number one, that you have a perfect heart. That is, you love Him. And then that you trust Him. You don't think God can take care of you if you give Him a tenth of your income, which is already His to start with, and put it in the offering, or put it, and then you get the missions above that, and revivals and camp meetings and whatever, and God burden your heart to give to somebody else. Brother Tom Gillum has shared in preaching, when he's preaching on living in the offering plate, and he told about he and Beth's financial situation when he first went to evangelism and everything, and he said he began to give. More than he would. He'd always been a tither, but he began to give. He began to give to people and give to ministries and to give free will offerings. And he said, you know what happened? About 2 years, I gave him away out of debt. God blessed him, rewarded him. I could testify over and over again and what God's done. And I've been blessed even today. God did something. God burdened my heart last week to do something financially for somebody. And then this morning, somebody came in and gave me the equivalent of about five times what God laid on my heart to give last week. Am I bragging? No, I'm just telling you, if it's anything, it's Him. I promise you He'll take care of you. And He said, and so when you give, you're demonstrating your faith. Now, God, I can't make this work out on paper, but if you'll be obedient to Him, He'll do that. It demonstrates your obedience. Will you obey Him? You have to decide, does God want me to be a good steward? Does God want me to give to the work of Christ? Does God want me to be a tither and give to missions and everything else? You got to decide that for yourself. You're not under no legal bond. It's just a matter of whether or not you want the blessings of God or not. And God will bless you and give it to you. Notice the revival that He promises. He said, I'll open the windows of heaven and I'll pour you out a blessing that you cannot receive. More than you need, He'll just flood you with it if you'll be obedient to God. He said, I'll rebuke the devourer. For He said, not only will I reward you by opening the windows of heaven, but I will rebuke the devourer of things. Where, you know, remember when they were in the wilderness? The Bible said the shoes didn't wear out, the clothes didn't wear out, and God sent a manna from heaven to eat. God took care of them. And He said, I'll rebuke the devourer. But then in verse number 12, He said, all nations will call you blessed. And you'll be a testimony. I don't know how, why, but God will testify that. Somebody said, why in the world are you so happy? Because I love to give. Why are you so happy? Why is it you don't like you? Because I love the Lord. And God's been good to you. God loves a cheerful giver. I have some New Testament verses. I'm not going to go to them right now. But let me just simply say this. Paul gave that in the book of Philippians. He said, if you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. Now you prove that, most of you in your garden this year. If you plant two seed, you get two plants and a few beans. But most of you planted more than that. You probably planted two rows of snap beans and two rows of this, that, and the other, because you know that you're going to get back a whole lot more than you sow. And he said, it's just a matter of how much you want. Do you want to try to get the snap beans off of two plants, or you want to plant, 100 seed? And that's just the principle. I mean, it's in the Bible. And that's the basis of God's blessing. And that is, in this particular case, and this is one of the areas that they were not getting blessed in because they had got back. I scratched my head when I read that. I said, these people had lost everything. I mean, and they deserved to lose it. They were wicked. If you go back and read, they made their children go by through the fire. They offered their children as burnt sacrifices. One of the kings even built altars in the house of God to the idols and to the false gods inside the house of God. They deserved everything they got. But yet God, in His mercy, brought them back. But even at that, God delivered them, bring them back into the land. They still would not trust God. They still did not love Him enough to give. I don't know what it was, but they were disobeying Him. And He said, you've gone from Me. How? Tithes and offering. I want to ask you this morning, how about you? That's them, but what about us? He said, if you'll be faithful, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you're not able to receive. He said, you just prove Me. Just go ahead and try it and see what I'll do. I could give you testimony of people who came to realize one day that it's like that. God loves a cheerful giver. And back in the book of Chronicles, we saw how they gave, how they rejoiced, how they were blessed. I'm asking you this morning, we want to have revival. We want to see people saved. But God will not bless us if we don't trust Him and if we don't love Him. And we won't obey Him. And this is just one area where it makes evident whether we love Him or not, whether we trust Him or not, and whether we're willing to obey Him or not. Will you bow your heads in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank You that we are saved by grace through faith, that we are justified freely by Your grace through Your shed blood. God, we understand that. But God, You said that You have created us in Christ Jesus unto good works which You before ordained that we should walk into them. And God, I'm thankful that there were people who gave a few weeks ago to help a mission church out in Wyoming to have some fuel to cool, to heat their building for boys and girls in Sunday school and men and women who came to worship our Father in those awful winters in Wyoming. God, that's just very practical. But God, You said we ought to give that Your house might be filled. Filled with what? Filled with the love of Christ? Filled with the joy of those who are obedient givers? Filled with the presence and power of God that souls might be saved? And when people look at us and see us, they want to know the reason for the hope that's in us. God, I pray, God, You'd help us to be obedient. God, help me to be obedient to do what You want me to do. And God, I pray, God, that we would demonstrate our love and our faith and trust in You in this very important part of all of our lives, that every good and perfect gift comes down from God, the Father of lights. And David acknowledged that it's all Yours anyway. How can we give so freely of that which You've already given to us because it was Yours in the very beginning? And God, I know You put this on my heart. Maybe somebody's been battling with it, struggling with it, not knowing what to do. Some have not even been aware of the fact of what's going on. And yet now the Holy Ghost of God reminded them that they've not been faithful in their giving. It's not been an important part of their life. God, I pray, God, You'd help us. Lord, that we would be what You'd have us to be and do what You'd have us to do to prove You, that You would open the windows of heaven and pour out on us blessings that we cannot receive. Father, I pray that You'd speak to those who don't know Christ. Now, Father, of all that You've given to us, the greatest thing is the gospel of Christ and the fact that men and women, boys and girls, can come to know Jesus. Our Father, You gave because You loved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Father, I pray this morning that somebody would recognize that free gift through the love of the Father, that we might have everlasting life. They trust Christ as their Savior. I pray, God, that God's people would think very seriously about this obedience. Do they really obey You? Do they really love You? Do they really trust You? God, I pray, God, that You'd help us to be obedient. Let's stand together with heads bowed and eyes are closed. I felt like God put something on my heart, and at the same time I knew mostly how you would react, how folks react. But the folks who got blessed this morning are those who are not hoarders, but givers. The truth I've just preached blessed and encouraged those who are already givers, because they could have preached it far better than I could. They could have stood and told about what You've done for them in their giving. And God, I am thankful that, God, You allow us to be part of Your program, of Your plan. And God, those people who gave in Chronicles for the temple to be built because they had set their affection on the house of God and they loved You and had given out of a perfect, willing heart, God, You gave them that blessing of joy and worship. And God, I pray, God, that people would, Lord, yield to You in this area, be obedient, and prove You. Our Father, it's between them and You. God, You know exactly what everybody's been doing and what they've not been doing. But God, I pray You'd remind people that you don't need their money. The gold and the silver are all yours already. But we need to give so that you'll open the windows of heaven and you'll pour out blessings on us. While we're standing this morning, I don't know what you need to do, but if you need to make a commitment to the Lord, it seems to me like over my lifetime, it, when God spoke to me, that's always a good time to go ahead and just make it and settle it with the Lord. It seems to me like, me personally, in my heart, God dealt with me about something, I'd want to get around the altar. Feel like I just bowed to His authority and His leadership and said, God, please forgive me where I hadn't been doing what's right. And God, I pray You'd help me to be obedient to You. Lord, I do love You. And God, thank You for reminding me again this morning of my stewardship. And God, with all the trouble and COVID and first one thing and another, God, I've got very negligent in giving. Got to where I've almost completely ignored it, quit. But God, if You'll help me, God, help me be obedient to You. I want to give. God, I pray You'd help somebody this morning. I pray, God, that somebody would not be, Lord, under a curse, but they'd get under a blessing, and that they'd get under the open windows of heaven. God, I pray they'd be obedient. We're just going to give a minute here. I don't know if everybody's got a song on his heart, sing a verse of. I'm not going to keep it just a few minutes, because what I preach to you this morning, you'll do not just this morning, but for the rest of your life as a Christian, and you'll see the blessings of God if you'll do it. I don't know what else to do but tell you what He said. If you obey Me, I will open the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing. If you feel like you need to come, you come to the altar. If I can help you in any way, if you're here and you don't know Christ, you say, we want to be saved, I want to be saved, we'd be glad to help you. Trust Christ. But if God spoke to your heart this morning, you won't make any kind of commitment to Him, not me or the church or anybody else, but just to the Lord. You say, Lord, thank You, forgive me everything I've ever had. I pray You'll do that this morning. Oh, God, help us now.
In Jesus' name, I've been born again. In Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I come to You to share His love as He told me to. He said freely,
if He's speaking to you, listen to Him now.
You have received.
Do what He tells you to do.
Freely give. Go in My name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. All power is given in Jesus' name. In earth and heaven, in Jesus' name, and in Jesus' name, I come to You to share His love as He told me to.
Now, while she plays for another moment, you're praying in just a few, well, next week, Brother Randy will be with us. You say, why we have too many meetings right close together? It's just the way the Lord worked it out. And I think there's a reason for it. I think God did a lot of work and a lot of hearts when Brother Bill was here. We were blessed and helped. And that's just the beginning. Just the beginning. And we're going to see God move. And Brother Randy will be here starting next week and go through Wednesday night, on next Sunday through next Wednesday. They got the camp meeting this week, and just be faithful. Let God use you through the week to call people, visit people, be a blessing. Let God speak to you. Be obedient to Him. And you don't want to leave here this morning grieving the Holy Ghost and be down and defeated, God wants to bless you. He wants to help you. So you pray for that. We got homecoming coming up, and we're looking forward to having a great time with his song in the morning service. And then that afternoon, we're going to have a great lunch right after the homecoming meal, right after the service. And then 3 o'clock, we're going to have the singing, Hickory Grove, and the Down East boys are going to come by. They're going to be here in his song. And we won't go terribly long. We try to make it brief. And then afterwards, we want to have a time of celebration. My birthday and Brother Barry's, and there's several others that told me, and we'll just make it a combined effort. But we'll try to have a little bit of refreshment, cake and ice cream or something right after the singing, and we'll have a good time in the Lord. So I want you to pray about all of that. And the whole thing is just us trying to seek God, get our hearts prepared. He's coming again. I don't want to have any outstanding notes or outstanding paper. I want to be prayed up, paid up, and right, ready to go. Amen. Let's just be obedient to the Lord.